Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
We can do this here. Time for you to, well, at least you get a chance to win something. The 2024 Hunters Extravaganza is here. Go see the newest in hunting products, clothing, rifles, knives, and more. The 2024 Hunters Extravaganza is August 2nd through the 4th, and we are giving away a pair of tickets right now. Caller 7 to 713-780-3776 gets a pair of tickets. You can go any day, August 2nd through the 4th, for one day. So if you want to go to the Hunters Extravaganza, call them right now, 713-780-3776. And if you go on Friday of next week, make sure to find Gallant and George and the Killer Bees. They will be broadcasting live from 12 to 6. Caller 7 at 713-780-3776. We finished up last segment talking about Bobby Slowick discussing Stephon Diggs, and we heard from him earlier discussing C.J. Stroud and his footwork, comparing it to some of the best in the game to ever do it. So let's go to C.J.'s biggest talent beyond his ability to read defenses, his ability just simply to throw the football. I don't know if we would have considered him a big arm quarterback coming out of school. The ball kind of just even with the flick, the ball seemed to just fly out of his hand. It seems like an easy throwing motion. He's a guy who can hit pretty much anyone at any time. Just a talent. There's probably going to be a time, if it hasn't already happened, where we start to ask ourselves, how didn't we see it? I mean, the Bryce Young thing, I get. Bryce Young was a winner. He was at Alabama. He was a great college quarterback. He was a great high school quarterback too, but a great college quarterback. But I don't know if it's the Ohio State thing or just maybe we didn't see a lot of the creativity in CJ's game before that Georgia game. But after a year, we're looking at him like, what did we miss? How wasn't he clearly the number one overall selection? Sometimes everyone misses. And to be fair, he was going to be a top five pick no matter what. It's just there's been a clear difference in their performance. And the environment certainly matter. Bryce Young wasn't in a great one. What didn't help Bryce Young this week is he was walking around reporting to camp, and he had a backpack on. And we know Bryce Young is small for a quarterback. I didn't want to lean into all the jokes, but he did look like a high school kid going to school. The backpack was weighed down by whatever. It was hanging down near lower back area. I'm like, he looked like a high school kid.
My question was like, what's he having there?
Yeah, well, I don't change of clothes. I don't know what's in that bag.
It's
that backpack
be so heavy.
Yeah. Why is he wearing a backpack? Why is it so heavy? Why is it weighing him down so much? And we got to work on. He's got to get a PR person. Bryce, you know what they say about you. You cannot be seen in a backpack at any point.
He needs a 5'3" PR person
to understand. Who has a complex? Who understands what it's like?
Who also if they're ever seen next to each other.
Oh, just to walk next, so Bryce looks like a giant.
Bryce Young looks big.
Understood. You need smaller people around you.
Yeah.
For that instance, and as being a 5'9" person myself, I understand not being tall, but I'm also not an NFL quarterback and not scrutinized the way he is. It was a rough look. He'll be fine. I'm sure Bryce Young's dealt with that his entire life. He'll be fine.
Are you scrutinized as much as
no?
Bryce Young?
I'm clearly not. No.
7 to 10.
Well, by the two guys doing the show, sure, and maybe Twitch a little bit too. But as far as Hey, little fella, you should be playing in the league. No, yeah. I don't get anything close to that.
Luckily, we do a job where we have to sit down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't play basketball. Yeah, I sit down, the chair, everyone sits in the chair. It pretty much equalizes you.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So that doesn't come up. You're under scrutiny for other things.
For other things, not my height. maybe a lack of talent, but not my height. Bryce Young, people are questioning his talent too after that first year. But playing in Carolina ain't the same as dealing with Slowick and the Texans and what they put around him. And hell, the surprise that Tank Dell, Nico Collins could be so effective in year one. But don't wear a backpack when you're walking around anymore. Hey, just ride in a cart if you got to have that backpack on. But moving on, enough about Bryce Young. Back to the guy in town. C.J. Stroud, arm strength, can make every throw. We saw that in that Colts game where even the Colts, after he hit that throw, were like, no way. What the? That couldn't have happened. That's the type of those are the type of things he can do on the field. Here's Bobby Slowick discussing C.J. Stroud and his arm and the throws it allows him to make.
But I would say the ones that I very rarely have seen that I just think are special are when he throws outside the numbers past 15 yards, like somewhere between 15 to 20 yards on the sideline, last in the progression, you know, yeah, snapping back to it, not when it's number one, that's rare.
Bobby Slowick on C.J. Stroud. He does the things that you love for a quarterback to do beyond the ordinary that you expect. What makes him, at least at this point, and we'll have this talk because Sean brought it up, maybe the best young quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes, or at least the best quarterback younger than Patrick Mahomes in the league. And there's some, like Josh Allen's younger than Patrick Mahomes. Herbert is, Burrow is. The league has quite a few young quarterbacks who have done big things. So maybe we can have that talk when we get back. Let's stay on the clock here. He's been everything you can want. And the praise will continue. Just don't mess it up this year because the scars aren't there yet. We're having this talk pretty much all week. It happened a couple times on the show from 7 to 10. What quarterbacks are capable of winning the Super Bowl? No matter what they do in the regular season, putting up all the numbers, quarterbacking big-time offenses, are they capable of doing the thing that matters most, winning? And to its core, what we care about for the most part is, can my favorite team win titles? And if I have a player who I have to pay like $55 million to or more a year to do it, he has to win. He has to be capable of winning. So the Dak Prescott conversation came up today, got people fired up. Can he win a Super Bowl at 30 years old? Or are we writing him off at 30? And, of course, another guy whose contract is coming up, who is in camp, sometimes practicing, sometimes not, is the man in Miami. Is he capable of winning? Are we writing the story on him at 26 years old? And, of course, Jordan Love's up next. I don't think people have a real decision on him yet. He's only done it for a season. So no one really knows. And in his first year, he probably should have at least made an NFC title game, if not for the Packers kind of throwing it away late against the 49ers. So CJ doesn't have those playoff scars yet. The Baltimore game, whatever. People can push that aside. Number one seed on the road. Tank wasn't there. You weren't set to beat that team. But 3 or 4 years from now, if he hasn't won anything, are we having these conversations about him despite knowing how good he is? I would predict yes, because that's how we treat every quarterback who's shown any level of talent and success if they don't win at all. We eventually lean the other way and go, how come this guy's never won? So when we come back, because Sean brought it to the table, and by the way, Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30 to give you what you should watch or shouldn't watch. Sean and I, and you guys can get into it, 713-780-3776. Who are the quarterbacks, and we'll rank them, who are the best quarterbacks younger than Patrick Mahomes? Because he's a standard bearer. But the young guys are coming. There are a lot of them. And I think Sean has the local guy at number one. We'll see. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
We're back. And before we get to Michael Carroll and some lighthearted conversation about, is he going to get that special edition Wolverine and Deadpool popcorn bucket? With that movie being available to see, he's going to go see it tomorrow. I may do that too. It'll either be that or Twisters. He'll join us. He's the host of Comicast. He does that with John Lee. You can hear it every Friday on 97.5 from 9 to 10 or in podcast form, wherever you might listen to your podcast. It's there. Let's get to the topic that Sean brought up. Sean more than suggested that C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback younger than Patrick Mahomes. And there's several. If you didn't know, and I mentioned it earlier, while Mahomes and Josh Allen are currently the same age, Josh Allen was born in 1996, Mahomes in 95. So Allen younger, 28 years old, but younger. So he counts. We have the likes of Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray and Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Tua is younger as well. Joe Burrow, too. I've given you those names, and you may still feel the way you feel, knowing that Josh Allen's younger than Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Do you think CJ still belongs at the top of the list?
Burrow, Allen, and Lamar are the only...
And Lamar, too. I forgot about Lamar. Mentioning him.
Are the only three, and he's 97. January 7th, 97. Also, what was happening in 1996 and 1997 for these three awesome quarterbacks were born? That's where the conversation is, I think. That's where the only challenges that you have are. But if you go like
if you go one by one,
it's C.J. Stroud takes. I like my quarterbacks to take care of the ball, Dell. So Josh Allen, get out of my face.
You like a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over a lot.
I like my quarterback that doesn't choke in the playoffs.
Who are you referring to there?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so Lamar Jackson loses a game to the eventual Chiefs, yes. Champions, but you lost to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That's not an answer.
It's a team game.
Oh, so now it's a team game. You're playing the correct cards.
And then Joe Burrow, I like my quarterback who's out there every year.
Who plays.
Yeah.
CJ in his first year did miss two games and parts of a third.
The Bengals wish Joe Burrow only missed two games every season.
That's true.
Half the time their season just ends in October.
Oh, look, Jake Browning's out there. Cool. Okay, this isn't going to end well, even though he played pretty well last year. So you're using things to disqualify other guys. Lamar Jackson, another guy who's hurt quite a bit, two-time MVP, but according to you, he chokes, so he's out.
I'm saying that if you want to make the – C.J. Stroud's in the position where if you want to make the argument against – any three of those guys, you have a winning play.
CJ Stroud's in the position because he's only played 1 year, and as I said before, the scars haven't been built up yet. There's
one playoff loss. All these guys have way.
There's not enough data for you to start to pick apart maybe some of his issues. Well, he can't get past the divisional round. He's playing in a bad division. It's only year one.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a lot of things the other guys have that you can use against them. So it's not a bad position to be in to say he's clearly the best young quarterback younger than Patrick Mahomes.
So, like you said, Burrow, December 96, Allen, May of 96, Lamar, January 97. So I can say definitively that C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback. And if you can't tell, we've been Googling these people's ages.
Definitely.
Just to verify.
Just to make sure.
But you can say with 100% certainty, I feel, that C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback since the release of Batman and Robin in 1997.
Okay.
I mean, that's where...
Definitively, after a year of football.
Yes. Well, who do you have?
You don't think
Justin Herbert?
I don't even like Justin Herbert as a player. I think he is more hyped than he's actually shown.
Mm-hmm.
When was Joe Burrow born?
Joe Burrow was December 96.
So, okay, older. So who would even qualify younger than Batman and Robin?
That's where you get into the Herbert to a zone of guys. Basically, all these... So, Burrow is 2020, but he was in college for... It was the 2020 draft, but he was in college for 5 years. Allen and Lamar were both in the 18 draft, and Mahomes was in the 17 draft.
So, are you back...
So, you're basically going 19 draft and and more recent.
So you're backing away from him being better than Allen and—
I'm not backing away. I'm just saying if you want to be definitive about it, he's the best quarterback since the release of Batman and Robin in June of 1997.
What a movie to pick, too.
Can you tell I Googled 1997 movies?
Yes, I can. Because offhand, I wouldn't know when that movie was released. Didn't deserve that type of attention, honestly. But you found a line in the sand, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, because I didn't want to go best quarterback born in the 2000s, because—
It's him and who else?
Yeah, that, and I'm leaving 2 years on the table. I can't let Jalen Hurts escape this. I can't let Justin Herbert off the hook. I can't let your guy Tua off the hook.
Off the hook is one man's ranking. I can't let them off the hook.
Of my ranking.
Of
yes.
Your ranking, yes. I will, honestly,
I can't let Kyler Murray off the hook. Actually, Kyler Murray might be older. I don't know. No.
Oh. As far as the rankings, these arbitrary rankings, I would actually even just disqualify CJ because he's only been around for a year. Not because I don't think he can do it again, but all these other guys have warts that you can point to that a lot have to do with either situation or just the course of a career. Things happen, whether you get injured or a year doesn't go your way. It's actually unfair to even compare him to them. Because as I said, maybe 3 years from now, we're having to talk about how come CJ can't get it done. And it may have nothing to do with him and a lot to do with who's around him.
It's also a situation with all these guys that they're in their mid-20s.
And he's 22 years old.
Well, it's also, they're in that spot where they've had just enough years in the league to pick apart and to parse. But also not so many that they get their one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, they get their Matt Stafford Super Bowl. That they get their, the Matt Ryan winning MVP in 2016 and going to the Super Bowl. Like, they don't have that one year where you go, well, sure, but all of it hit this. Or, like, if you were to do this argument about Peyton Manning in 2005, like, you could just, pre-2005 Peyton Manning has a worse case than a lot of these guys.
Sure. The game has changed because of partly Patrick Mahomes. We're accelerating timelines for quarterbacks and what they have to accomplish. You would say Joe Burrow, health aside, and that's always a big deal, was clearly a successful pick for the Bengals. And if they can find a way to keep him on the field, that's a hit.
Yes. So
once Herbert sure had an off year last year, but so far, that's a guy drafting in the top six where the Chargers hit on the quarterback. You remove Brian Flores hating him the last 2 years. If he could stay healthy, when he's on the field, the Dolphins are a much better team, and that offense is great when Tua plays. So but like you said, we have these other factors that add scars, that add data points that say, well, CJ has none of that, so I'm going to take the guy who has literally no negatives surrounding him, no bad data points, and go, why wouldn't I take that guy? Because of the maybe this kind of assumption that's probably a poor one to suggest nothing bad's ever going to happen in his career. Mm-mm. Because we have year one and it's always going to be a trajectory up. Yes. And nothing bad or nothing that suggests, hey, maybe he had a down year.
Yes, we 100% agree on that.
It'll always be better.
Nothing bad will ever happen.
In fact, year one was his worst year. Every year will be an ascension to being the GOAT.
Yeah, maybe I got out, because you can't say definitively that he's the best quarterback since younger than Patrick Mahomes. Now you can. Every single person's ranking might vary, and he might be higher than, you know, one person walking around might have Lamar over him, but not the other two. One person might have the other two and not Lamar. They might have Allen, but not Burrow. You can say definitively, though, no one will argue against you, that CJ Stroud is the best quarterback born after Batman and Robin in 1997.
Because that's how everyone's going to determine
list. So this weekend when you're hanging out, talking to people, waiting in line at the movie theaters, whatever, and this comes up, you can say, 1997, Batman and Robin by Joel Schumacher.
That's my line. It's an oppressive one. It's an oppressive line, that particular movie. And if anyone out there is thinking like you, I may think they need to be hospitalized, but
it's available on Max, by the way.
Well, cool.
Might
you know what Michael's probably not going to recommend you watch this weekend?
I don't know.
He usually doesn't go to things that have been out for, I don't know, what are we talking about, 17 years now?
Yes. Oh, 17 years.
What am I thinking? 27 years.
I was born in 1996.
Yeah. 27 years, excuse me.
Oh, you can also do Face Off.
Yeah, do Face Off's a better movie.
You can do Con Air.
Once again, a better movie. Nicolas Cage.
I don't know why
up.
Batman and Robin came up first before all these other 1997 movies.
1997 had some good movies, and then you dropped Batman and Robin.
Yeah, Air Force One.
And again, could have picked that. Good movies. That's three good movies you've mentioned and one bad one.
27 years old.
That are 27 years old, not 17. Maybe Michael will offer us some good movies to watch that are of a more recent vintage. Maybe 3 months old. Maybe 2 weeks old. A week old. Maybe not 27 years old. We'll talk to Michael Carroll when we come back, host of Comicast. Also, the guy who pretty much puts all the production stuff together here. So if you like what you hear, Michael Carroll is the guy behind it. And if you don't, I don't want to hear from you, to be honest. It's Michael Carroll. How dare you? We'll talk to Michael Carroll, host of Comicast, when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is here. Michael Carroll joins us. Welcome, Michael.
Hello.
Michael Carroll hosts the Comicast with John Lee. A lot to get to on Comicast this week. As I told you before, if you want to hear it in podcast form, go to any podcast, any place you hear a podcast, you listen to your podcast, it'll be there. If you happen to be driving around tonight, maybe you're coming home from an Astros game, if you want to catch the back half of Comicast, it's on 97.5 from 9 to 10. Michael and John take you through what was a pretty interesting week in pop culture and particularly comic books. So, I mean, I would imagine the first thing you're going to recommend, considering you talk quite a bit about it, at least the reviews of it, first thing you might recommend this week is something you're going to see tomorrow.
Well, I mean, yes, there is a big little movie called Deadpool and Wolverine, but I'm here to talk to you about Batman and Robin, okay? Batman and Robin, one of the phenomenal Batman movies that just doesn't get enough praise.
All right,
right?
Go ahead. Give it its praise.
I mean, think about all the puns you get out of that movie. Think about the bat nipples. Think about all the aspects of that movie that just stand the test of time.
Poison Ivy,
dumb Bane. I mean, well, how can you not talk about that movie?
What's the plot to Batman and Robin?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I bet.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask.
Mr. Freeze is upset.
I know Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze is upset.
Well, that's generally his canon.
Time to put you on ice or whatever he says. Yeah. I don't know.
Something along the line.
That's all I got.
We have Batgirl. We have Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl in that movie as well.
It definitely has the most characters of any Batman movie.
Chris O'Donnell's Robin.
Yes, he plays Robin. Yes, he does.
He gets seduced by
Poison Ivy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, who was played by Uma Thurman.
That's true. I don't know who played Dumb Bane, but that's all. I just remember.
I don't even remember Dumb Bane being in the movie.
He's in there briefly, and he's just all jacked up, and he's and he just sounds like an ogre in like Lord of the Rings or something like that. Like it's very dumb.
Yeah, it's a guy who you wouldn't know from anything. Whoever Robert Pattinson is,
zero idea.
Yeah, exactly. But Tom Hardy was like, "That's not my inspiration."
No, not at all. No. Okay. So it's not really Batman and Robin.
Okay.
It's not. I lied. It's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
I mean, it's the only wide release this weekend. It's everything else that's out there that's releasing this weekend is limited because, I mean, this is probably going to be the biggest movie of the year.
Going up against a monster, yeah.
It's already made $38 million in Thursday night previews, already made 60 to 70 overseas. Like, this is a big, big movie in just a day and a half, 2 days or whatever. So, I mean, this is the top pick of the weekend for streaming, for anything. This is the top pick of the weekend.
And the Metacritic score is not great. Rotten Tomatoes has it about 79%. But I saw, the audience score was at 98%, I saw.
I think this is definitely a movie that's going to resonate more with fans, obviously. I've read some of the reviews from critics that are just like, not feeling it whatsoever. And I think the general consensus is they think it's a cash grab by Disney. They think it's Cameo Fest and there's nothing of note in there. I read a review that like was referenced in X-Men 2 and a quiet scene in X-Men 2 that's like a moment with Iceman and Wolverine where it's just a quiet moment. It's like, I mean, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. That's not the movie you're going to get.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about here? This is like junk food movie to the 10th degree, but done in a fun way with a nice size budget, I would imagine, but with the wit and just comedy of Ryan Reynolds going from the jump, uniting with his best friend on screen for the first time in however many years in terms of superhero aspect.
Sure.
Like, this is just a dumb, fun movie. The multiverse angle, I think it's wearing on critics as well.
I would assume.
It's hard to create stakes when people can die and just come back.
Yeah, I imagine critics love Logan. So did I. But
yeah,
we see the it's not apparently not a cameo, but we see at least the appearance of X-23 in the trailer. And it's in reference to a different Wolverine, mm-hmm. and the Wolverine that we're getting is saying, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
So that was you're seeing the same actor, you're seeing the same character name, but it's not the same life. So I imagine if you're not into all the comic book hocus pocus, you're probably going to be bothered by some of it.
If you weren't into Deadpool, the first one, Deadpool 2 or anything like that, like you're obviously not going to like this one. It's that, but now with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and it is meta in terms of talking about 20th Century Fox and those X-Men films from that. I don't know because I haven't seen the movie yet, but it's seemingly like a final send-off for all those characters. It's a fun movie. Like, you're not going to get, like, I don't know, Citizen Kane or some other, like, high-tier, like, thought-provoking thing. Deadpool's going to make stupid jokes. He's going to talk to the audience all the time. Hugh Jackman's going to be angry all the time and stab him a couple of times for it. Like, it's fun, and it plays off the nostalgia, obviously, but it's a fan service movie, probably, but that's okay. Like, I think that's okay. That's fine to have that.
Particularly when Deadpool's involved.
100%,
If you want to play on my emotions, I'm cool with that. I'm accepting. You're not manipulating me. I already know you're trying to manipulate me. I'm going in hoping that whatever strings you pull actually work.
I think Ryan and Hugh have, you know, they're doing all the press. Like, they're everywhere right now. And when they talk about it, it's just like, yeah, we got together and we thought this would be fun. Yeah, it's 100% going to make whatever money for Disney. Like, that's true. But I think at the core of it, it's just a bunch of friends having fun with this dumb story that I'm sure, like, it's not going to be perfect. I'm not expecting the villain to be a standout villain.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure the villain that they've portrayed in the trailers
is the actual villain. I don't want to give too much away, but if you've seen the trailer, the woman is the actor or actress, however you like to put that, who plays Diana, the young Diana, in The Crown.
Oh, okay.
What's her, Emma Corrin, I think is her
name?
That's her name. According to what I looked up, her character is the sister, kind of the sister of Professor X. Yeah. But because it's a comic book, once again, comic book hocus pocus, you're going to figure out that it's not a traditional sister.
They were separated from birth or anything like that.
The best way I can describe it is she would be the sister to Professor X. And if they go into how it actually came about in the movie, maybe you'll learn more. But so probably right. Yeah.
If they do, they're going to make 100 jokes about it.
Yeah. So I'm interested. I'll probably see it Saturday. Same. I always say that like, you know, it's not tomorrow. I'll see it tomorrow night. Some showing at the local Cinemark at, you know, 11 p.m. just to stay away from the crowds as much as possible. My goal.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm going to go early to avoid all the
crowds.
Well,
I have a meeting to be at
tomorrow. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I got to be at that meeting too. What are you talking about?
Sure.
Yeah, I've got to be
there. If Joe was a real one, he would just not bought out a theater, but tickets to the Deadpool Wolverine.
Oh, it's weird how it ended up being at 2 o'clock.
We're all coming here in the afternoon. Just, hey, that's a team bonding experience. Take us to the instead of paying for food, you're paying for food anyway. Take us to Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah. Matinee's cheaper too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saving you money in this hypothetical, Joe.
You're welcome.
Just thank me and go about your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, team bonding by no one speaking throughout the movie, because that's what I'm looking for. I don't want to hear comments, to be fair.
You saying you don't want to hear from your fellow producers? And...
Not when I'm watching the movie. No. I don't really want to hear from them tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Hey.
But definitely not during a movie.
Okay, I got no comment. I got no transition for that. I got nothing.
Welcome to my world, Michael.
I get it. I 100% get it. Yeah. So theater-wise, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. 100%.
But what if you decided this is not the weekend? You'll catch it on a weekend where there's less crowds. What are you going to watch this weekend from your home?
There is a couple of, like, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of a quiet thing, especially for, like, what I think is our kind of purview in terms of what we watch. It's kind of a quiet weekend. There is the Taika Waititi Time Bandits that's hitting Apple TV Plus this weekend, which, really quick, the young kid who's the star, I just discovered what his name is, like his real name, and it's Kal-El Tuck.
How old is he? Because you know there's some nerdy parents who decided we're going to do that.
We really love Superman. We're going to name our kid after Superman.
And, you know, if you love Batman, naming your kid Bruce probably ain't going to work out for you, no. At least the kid. I'm trying to think of other superhero nicknames that parents would give their kids that would clearly be an inspiration driven by the character. Like, well, Kal-El is obvious. Are there any more? Peter, you could say that, but that's a regular name.
Yeah, most of the names are to a certain extent.
You have to be regular. An alien at this point, right?
Well, the name that comes to mind that I know got popular was Khaleesi. Daenerys,
sure.
Which it's like,
are you naming your daughter or son, whatever, Khaleesi, or are you naming them Daenerys? If you're going to one way, I think I would go Daenerys. I'm not naming the kid Khaleesi.
I can't imagine I would go Khaleesi. Because Danny
you can be short. Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, it's still not great. Like, the kid's gonna be, what's your name, Daenerys Johnson or something like that. I don't know.
I know parents. You know, I can't speak to them. I'm not a parent. They have own. You know, you feel like that's my kid. I'll give them the name. But think of their future. Like parents like to think of the kid's future and like college and what they're going to be like. Don't saddle them with that name,
Kal-El.
Kal-El. You know, there's a recent draft pick named Kal-El Ware. It's close enough.
I guess it's close enough. Yeah. But it's, if you look at the spelling and everything, it's
clearly the Superman.
It's literally letter for letter with the dash and everything. Like, come on. How's that kid going to fill out a Scantron? Is there a dash option? I guess there is nowadays. I don't know.
It's been a while since I've done a Scantron.
It's been a little bit since I've been. I wonder if I just display my age. It's like, Michael, they do all of it by computers now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't
think
kids have to worry about Scantron.
All right, well, I'm old now. So the other thing you could watch this weekend, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning hits Prime Video.
That movie was spoiled for me a week after it came out, and I've still never forgiven the podcaster for it. Like, they gave me the death of a certain character, and I was like, wait a minute.
That's annoying.
What are we doing here? And I stopped listening to that podcast for months because she pissed me off.
Wow. Understandably so.
Yes.
What's the worst you've ever been? Is that, like, the worst you've ever been spoiled?
Well, somehow John knew, or maybe he just guessed, that Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Iron Man, was going to die in Avengers Endgame.
No, that he probably got it from LaShawn McCoy.
That's what I was going to say.
I would think so, but I don't remember LaShawn McCoy talking about it.
He tweeted it.
I know, but I don't remember that happening at the time. I think John, like, weeks before was like, oh, Iron Man's going to die. And I didn't think anything of it. And then it happened.
And then preemptive.
He's not
spoil.
Granado's not someone you would assume has...
Would be looking into spoilers, would know anything. No. I mean, well, his wife does work for a Disney corporation. So now you think about it, maybe he knew something.
That dinner with Kevin Feige.
At some point, you know, maybe Kevin Feige in front of the shareholders had a thing, and somehow he let it slip, because that would have happened.
The worst one for me was, I was in the theater for Force Awakens, the Star Wars Force Awakens, and I had, like, done a post about, like, I'm seeing it right now or something. I'm sitting in the theater before I think the previews were just starting, and it was one of those things where somebody commented on it and it appeared on my lock screen.
Sure.
And it was one of those things where I read it before I could stop myself. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Han Solo dies, Ben Solo, like, they said everything. And I was just like,
what are we doing? I told you I'm in the theater. I didn't tell you I just walked out of it.
Somehow Palpatine returned away?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Well, yeah, that like.
Oh, that's a spoiler on. 5 years from
yeah, the and somehow he knew.
Wow, that's yeah. very good. So.
So, yeah. Yeah. Like Michael said, there's one movie to go watch, at least if you're one of us.
Yes.
It's Deadpool Wolverine. Maybe yes. you haven't seen Twisters yet. You want to see that? I get that. That's on my list, too.
I was telling MC I was thinking about Barbenheiming, Twisters and Wolverine and Deadpool.
Which one would you go see first, though?
I think you got to end with Twisters.
Mm, okay.
Right?
Okay. I could see that.
Because there is supposed to be a bit of an emotional bent to Deadpool Wolverine. Maybe after that, if you are racked with I don't know, maybe not sorrow, but emotions, you just want to see big explosions happen with no real investment.
I was thinking pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
For when I'm in hour 5 and 6 at a movie theater. Yeah. It's like, give me just the shot of adrenaline and Glenn Powell smirking.
Yeah. And that one guy that yells, twins.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I might start clapping in the theater, man.
Applauding.
Woo!
Sean's the one person in the theater that's doing that.
Look at that destructive force that, if in real life, would kill like thousands of people.
F5, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know we deal with hurricanes here, but it ain't tornadoes.
I don't think I've ever dealt with someone that's cheering on the weather in a movie.
You're supposed to be hoping the people survive.
This guy's over here, yeah, go weather.
Well, he's
yeah.
just mimicking the storm chasers. They do that to the yeah. F5, too.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, yeah, that twins thing wasn't like, oh, no, twins.
No, it was twins. Yeah, he was very twins. Much. Yeah.
He was thrilled by it.
It was yeah. very exciting.
So Twisters is on mine. Yeah, Sean, I might do a double, too. Might see both. I got the time. I'm not building a dynasty every minute of my day.
Of course, you could always catch up on The Boys. That's done.
That's done, sure.
Acolyte finished last week. House of the Dragon, phenomenal right now.
Yeah, so. I loved episode 6. Two more episodes to go, and we've got a new Dragon Rider. That's as much as I'll say if you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
A
mm-hmm.
new Dragon Rider who has set the tone where you don't have to be from a royal family or be from a complete family where you're not a bastard.
Also, Sea Smoke, I mean, I'll say at least the dragon name, Sea Smoke chasing down this person.
Yes.
And somebody put the, I'm here to talk to you about your car's extended warranty.
Sea Smoke did feel like a car salesman.
Yes.
You walked into the lot, yeah. you were prey, you yes. weren't getting away. So, House of the Dragon, phenomenal. You can watch that. And of course, Sunday's episode will be a big one, and we'll all be watching that as well. Michael Carroll, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk again next week. We both should have a review of Deadpool and Wolverine. Did we laugh? Did we cry? Did we care that Paul Rudd's head is giant and used as a lair for maybe a villain of the movie or maybe just one villain in the movie? We'll talk about that next week. Comicast, 9 to 10 on ESPN 975. Also in podcast form, you can listen to it now. Comicast, hosted by John Lee and Michael Carroll. We'll talk to Michael next week. We got one more segment here to go on the show. And we're going to hear from Paul Feinbaum. He has some things to say about Matt Rhule. They weren't complimentary, because when does Paul Feinbaum ever compliment anyone not named Kirby Smart or Nick Saban? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
This will be quick here, but before we wrap it up, I did want to get to a couple things, starting with, remember, rock the mic. If you or someone you know are already hosting a podcast or want to do that, we're giving you a chance to get some exposure. You can send in a 3 to 5 minute video to rockthemic975@gmail.com. Give us your best Houston sports take. If you're the winner, which we will decide that at Carbach Brewery during a live finale, you're going to have the chance to have a podcast hosted on ESPN Houston, our YouTube channel. You can come in here and do the show, or maybe even do it from home. Video is amazing. We can find a way to get it done for you. So, 3 to 5 minute video, send it to rockthemic975@gmail.com. And let's hear your best Houston sports take. We talked a lot about CJ Stroud. Maybe you have a different opinion on things. Send it in. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Paul Feinbaum needs no bigger platform than what he has on ESPN. He is probably their go-to guy for college football topics. we all know the genesis of him. SEC, that show, big time. I don't know how much he says positive about people who don't belong in the SEC. We heard him rip Lincoln Riley a couple weeks ago. Now he goes after Matt Rule. Matt Rule, the coach at Nebraska, formerly at Baylor, had a stint in Carolina, which wasn't successful. He's back in college where he probably belongs. Here's Paul Feinbaum on Matt Rule and that Nebraska program.
I think four teams from this league should get in every year because this is the best league. This is the NFL of college football in my mind. It stretches from coast to coast, different time zones, different weather. That's not to diminish any other league. The SEC is amazing. These other leagues are great, but the challenge in the Big Ten is going to be really difficult.
So he says the Big Ten should just automatically get four teams in the playoff. Paul, what do you think of that?
Matt, stay in your lane, okay? Job one, win enough games to get to some stupid bowl game. Don't worry about the big boys because you're not one of them. We saw what you did in the NFL. You were a complete disaster in Carolina. You somehow got this job in Nebraska, and you're talking like you belong at the table with Ohio State and Georgia. You don't. Just try to win maybe six games. Quit choking big games on the final play and leave the punditry to the professionals. Thank you.
This has been a public service announcement from Paul Feinbaum, and it absolutely lived up
to everything. Not his best. That felt forced. That felt like, hey, Paul, you're on the show, say something. That didn't feel like it came from the heart. I feel like Paul was like, I'm on this show. They got me on here to say something. I feel the pressure. Let me take a shot at Matt Rule. Even from the beginning, that pause, getting into it. You've been better, Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, maybe instead of like some worry about making some stupid bowl game, maybe drop like, try making the Fenway Bowl or, you know, yeah. Like drop the
give
actual bowl name.
I know you're on debate television. You got to give a take, Paul Feinbaum. You're on the show, but that ain't natural for him. He probably didn't have that much of a feeling about Matt Rule. Had to say it.
He should have been like, yes. If the Big Ten gets four, that means the SEC should get six.
Or something like
that. Even if the math doesn't work.
You know what, Paul? You know what, Matt? The Big Ten's pretty good. I don't know why anyone's going to you for opinions on it. You're not going to play a part in the playoff.
Exactly.
But
I know which one of those four teams won't be.
Yeah, there may get four. Nebraska won't be one of them. Not for the foreseeable future. We are done for the day. At least I am. Sean will get you through. Gallant and George coming up here next. Caleb Beach, follow them. We'll be back on Monday. I'm sure there will be plenty to discuss. But we're done with the week, and we're done for the show. What does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
That we did. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lowe's has all the supplies you need to get your home spring ready, inside and out. Shop Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Plus, renew for the season with select cleaning essentials for under $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
We have everything you might need for a rainy day like today. Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus